Acts chapter 12, verse 1 to 19. If you have a church Bible, it's page 978. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. I sort of confused you last week by saying this was the brother of Jesus. It was the brother of John, who was the son of Zebedee. My apologies for confusing you. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, that is Herod, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when Herod had arrested Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant, agonizing prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly!" And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garments and follow me." So he went out and followed him, and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. When Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all of the expectation of the Jewish people." So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gates, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, "You are beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, "It's his angel." Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silence, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go, tell these things to James and to the brethren." And he departed and went to another place. Then as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had become of Peter. But when Herod had searched for him and not found him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. The verse 17, by the way, "Go tell it to James and the brethren," that James was the brother of Jesus, another James. Okay. Well, I tell you, I am really, really pleased that verses 12 to 17 are in the Bible. I'm really, really delighted that verses 12 to 17 are in this Bible. Well, all the friends, they were inside the house, they were praying. They were calling upon the name of the Lord because their buddy, Peter the Apostle, was in prison. Why was he in prison? Because he dared to defy Herod and the authorities. Peter said, "I'm going to preach Jesus. That's why I'm on earth now, to preach Jesus, so that others may come to faith in Jesus. The life that God has given to me, I want others to have." Herod was angry, so he threw him in prison. And now Peter is in prison with 14 guards, and he's chained up to two more. No way of escape. The folk are in prison. are in their home praying. What do we think they were praying to God for? Certainly we've read that they were praying earnestly. They were praying constantly. They were praying to God. Perhaps they said, please, Lord, let Peter have a swift end. Don't let it be a long, drawn-out affair. If he's got to die, let it happen quickly. Perhaps they were saying, Lord, give Peter courage now. He needs it. Give him courage at his point of need. Perhaps they were saying, Lord, let Peter be a good witness. May he not disown you, but that others may see Jesus in him, the guards, the soldiers, the fellow prisoners, that they will come to faith in Jesus. Perhaps they were saying, Lord, you know how you delivered Daniel out of the lion's grip. You can do it again. You can release Peter. Perhaps they were saying, Lord, we loved Peter. Oh, that we might hear his voice again, that we might see his face once more. What we do know, they were constantly praying to God. They were doing the right thing. I'm pretty sure they were saying, your will be done. As they were calling on the name of the Lord, there's a knock at the door. The servant girl, Rhoda, gingerly opens the door. She recognizes Peter's voice. She goes back into the room. They're on their knees, they're praying. And they're saying, Lord, you know how we love Peter. We want to see him again. Spare him. And Rhoda said, brethren, be quiet. Peter's at the door. You're having a laugh, aren't you? They said to Rhoda. You've got to be joking. But she wasn't intimidated. I heard his voice. No. He must be dead. You saw his angel. Eventually, these dead people who've been praying constantly, earnestly, stretching their prayers to God, get up and peer around the door. Hey guys, Peter says, put the kettle on, I'm back. They couldn't believe their eyes. Peter says, oh, but thanks for praying. God heard your prayers. I've been set free. I'm sure Peter said to them, I thank you for praying for me. I thank you that you had faith in God. Well, here's a thought for today. And may God help us. The early church, like you and me. Let me qualify that a little bit. They sure knew how to pray. They devoted themselves to teaching the apostles' doctrine, to fellowship, to praying. They knew how to pray. Are we as fervent as they in our prayers? At home? At school? Do we pray, really pray, calling upon Jesus? Do we pray as a congregation, as the church in the early days did? Are we that zealous? Do we want God to meet our needs? Do we want God for his kingdom to come on earth enough? Do we want to be a blessing to others enough? Do we want to be faithful enough that we call upon the Lord daily, strengthen me for the battle? These people knew that God was a God who kept his word. But yes, these apostles, these disciples were like you and me. Their prayers weren't perfect always. Their faith wasn't always spot on. their expectation wasn't always as it should be. But praise be to the name of the Lord. His answers, God's answers, don't depend on a special formula. It doesn't depend on us getting everything right, the right formula, the right words, the right phrases. Many tell us that we have to harness our faith in such a way and then positively confess something into being. Many say prayer, that God answers prayers depending on the quality of our faith. Now hear me aright, friends, because if we pray without faith in God, God won't hear us. Because faith pleases God. Without faith, we cannot please Him. So we've got to come to Him believing that God is great. God is good. God is able to do anything that pleases Him. There's nothing too hard for God. He can move the mountains. Somebody said, praying without faith is like shooting a gun without bullets. Just blanks. You'll never hit the target. We need to know He's great, He's awesome, nothing too hard for Him. And He loves to hear His people cry unto Him. Sometimes it's right to pray, Lord, I'm struggling a bit with this, but help my unbelief. Forgive my unbelief. Give me faith to see You there, Lord. Perhaps it's a real tragedy of life that it's not so much the unanswered prayers, but the unoffered prayers. Hey, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Because if that saint knows their God, God will act. God will act. So we pray, you and I pray, children, we pray because God is our Father. Children, you look up to Mum. You may look up to Dad. When you're small, you depend on them. You need them really big time. Especially when you get yourself into scrapes. If you are out and perhaps you're shopping and suddenly, hey, where's Mum? You're in Sainsbury's, she's in Tesco, but you didn't know, you've lost her. Mum! Mum! And then suddenly, Mum comes scooting around the corner, grabs you in her arms, hugs and kisses you. You're so glad you've now found Mum. There's security. Mum's pleased, you're pleased. God is our Heavenly Father. He loves it when we talk to Him. We depend on Him. I depended on the Lord for His strength, His power this morning. So do you. At school, at work, with family arrangements. If you've got a temper, you need God to help get rid of that temper. Submit to God, resist the devil, get rid of that temper. If anger easily rises in you, Lord, you know that's my old nature. I hate it. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit. I want Your life in me. It's Your work, Lord. Your grace is sufficient. Our God abundantly blesses and gives His kindness to us when we ask Him. That's why we pray. The things I can't do for myself, God does. Hallelujah. When we pray effectively, and when we pray collectively, the Lord is pleased to hear and answer our prayers. When we can agree about something, when we're in unity, hallelujah, ask and it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. Hallelujah. Is our thinking, as I conclude, are our thoughts, are our prayers aligned up with this word? Are we being obedient to God? You see, just one thing. The psalmist says, yea, our prayers can be hindered. They may not get very far if there's willful sin, if we're doing things we know are wrong, if it's become a habit, and in fact we've now accepted the habit as being part of our lifestyle, God's not impressed at all. We heard the word this morning. God loves us so much. He wants to be part of our lives now, and for you and for me to spend eternity with him forever, joyfully happy, never, ever, ever having a tear in our eyes again because we're with Jesus. That's what God wants for us. That's why Jesus came to this earth. But if we don't, as the word says, yield to him and say, hey, Lord, I do want you to be boss of my life. I want to read your word for you to talk to me. I want to be a good witness to you. I need you, Lord. You promised to strengthen me, to fill me with your spirit. If we don't yield to him, we're in big trouble. Big trouble. And we may hear those terrible words, go away from me. But if we have said, Lord, I want to do it your way, not my way. God is so gracious. God is so faithful. God is so good. He will give us the strength. He will give us the help. He will direct our paths. His word will be a lamp to our feet. That is why we, like the early church, can come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. The one who created the galaxies, this awesome, wondrous God, says that all authority, all power, all authority has been given to me on earth, in heaven and on earth. This is Jesus. All authority has been given to him in heaven and on earth. And he is the one who cares about every detail of your life. That truly is amazing. Knock, knock. Are you praying? Am I praying? Are we praying? Do we know this great and awesome God? The most powerful force, the most powerful being in the whole world, the Creator, is willing to bat for you and for me. That is absolutely incredible. Our prayers may not always be perfect. Our faith may not always be spot on. Sometimes we've blown it big time. But he comes and pours out his our undeserved kindness to us. Let's stand and pray. Let's just call upon the name of the Lord in these final moments. Let's just talk to the Lord. If there's a mountain in your life, in your circumstance, in your family, at work, at college, at school, lift up Angie, lift up Simon, lift up your wife, your husband, your son, your daughter, the church, the neighborhood. Lift up in prayer. Let's pray. No special formula, just come before the Lord and say, I don't know the answer, but you do. If you're lacking in faith, if you're lacking in just grace, if you're lacking this morning, God is able. God wants to fill us with His Holy Spirit. What is impossible to man is possible with God. What's too hard for you, what the devil has said, has put on your shoulders. You, as you submit, and as I submit to the Lord, He can deliver us because He sets the captives free. Hallelujah. As I said, lift up our wives, lift up our sons, lift up the family members. Just pray, pray, pray. There are needy members amongst us. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus.